My Desert Island All-Time Top 5 Most Memorable Split-Ups, in chronological order. Number 1. Alison Ashworth. 2. Penny Hardwick. 3. Jackie Allen. 4. Charlie Nicholson. 5. Sarah Kendrew. These are the ones that really hurt. Can you see your name in that lot, Lara? I reckon you'd sneak into the top 10, but there's no place for you in the top 5. Those places are reserved for the kind of humiliations and heartbreaks that you're just not capable of delivering. That probably sounds crueler than it's meant to, but the fact is we're too old to make each other miserable. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. So don't take your failure to make the list personally. Those days are gone, and good fucking riddance to them. Unhappiness really meant something back then. Now it's just a drag, like a cold or having no money. If you really wanted to mess me up, you should have gotten to me earlier. Number 1. Alison Ashworth, 1972. Most nights we used to mess around in the park around the corner from my house. I lived in Hertfordshire, but I might just as well have lived in any suburb in England. It was that sort of suburb, in that sort of park, 3 minutes away from my home, right across the road from a little row of shops, a VG supermarket, a newsagent's, an off-licence. There was nothing around that could help you get your geographical bearings. If the shops were open, and they closed at 5:30 and 1 o'clock on Thursdays, and all day Sunday, you could go into the newsagents and look for a local newspaper, but even that might not give you much of a clue. We were 12 or 13, and had recently discovered irony, or at least what I later understood to be irony. We only allowed ourselves to play on the swings and the roundabout and the other kids' stuff rusting away in there, if we could do it with a sort of self-conscious, ironic detachment. This involved either an imitation of absent-mindedness, whistling or chatting, or fiddling with a cigarette stub or a box of matches usually did the trick, or a flirtation with danger. So we jumped off the swings when they could go no higher, jumped onto the roundabout when it could go no faster, hung on to the end of the swing boat until it reached an almost vertical position. If you could somehow prove that these childish entertainments had the potential to dash your brains out, then playing on them became okay somehow. We had no irony when it came to girls, though. There was just no time to develop it. One moment they weren't there, not in any form that interested us anyway, and the next you couldn't miss them. They were everywhere, all over the place. One moment you wanted to clonk them on the head for being your sister, or someone else's sister, and the next you wanted to... Actually, we didn't know what we wanted next, but it was something. Something. Almost overnight, all these sisters, there was no other kind of girl, not yet, had become interesting, disturbing even. See, what did we have that was any different from what we'd had before? Squeaky voices. But a squeaky voice doesn't do much for you, really. It makes you preposterous, not desirable. And the sprouting pubic hairs were our secret, strictly between us and our Y fronts. And it would be years before a member of the opposite sex could verify that they were where they should be. Girls, on the other hand, quite clearly had breasts, and to accompany them a new way of walking. Arms folded over the chest, a posture which simultaneously disguised and drew attention to what had just happened. And then there was makeup and perfume, invariably cheap and inexpertly, sometimes even comically applied, but still a quite terrifying sign that things had progressed without us, beyond us, behind our backs. I started going out with one of them. No, that's not right, because I had absolutely no input into the decision-making process. And I can't say she started going out with me either. It's that phrase, going out with, that's the problem, because it suggests some sort of parity and equality. What happened was that David Ashworth's sister, Alison, peeled off from the female pack that gathered every night by the bench and adopted me, tucked me under her arm and led me away from the swing boat. I can't remember now how she did this. I don't think I was even aware of it at the time, because halfway through our first kiss, my first kiss, I can recall feeling utterly bewildered, totally unable to explain how Alison Ashworth and I had become so intimate. I wasn't even sure how I'd ended up on her side of the park, away from her brother and Mark Godfrey and the rest, nor how we'd separated from her crowd, nor why she tipped her face towards me so I knew I was supposed to put my mouth on hers. The whole episode defies any rational explanation. But all these things happened, and they happened again, most of them, the following evening, and the evening after that. What did I think I was doing? What did she think she was doing? When I want to kiss people in that way now, with mouths and tongues and all that, it's because I want other things too. Sex, Friday nights at the cinema, company and conversation, fused networks of family and friends, Lemsips brought to me when I'm ill, a new pair of ears for my records and CDs, maybe a little boy called Jack and a little girl called Holly or Maisie. I haven't decided yet, but I didn't want any of those things from Alison Ashworth. Not children, because we were children, and not Friday nights at the pictures, because we went Saturday mornings, and not Lemsips, because my mum did that. Not even sex. Especially not sex. Please God, not sex. The filthiest and most terrifying invention of the early 70s.